Blog Talk Radio.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
I'm levitating.
Tech or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Carrie.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago, and we have 8 arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to culture change, reality-based organizational change, and then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations, and I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity, and then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in the early 1800s, and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799. French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public. And also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute. But when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman.
One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into. But one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw it, and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything. You really do. And you outline it there. You put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education. And you have, you know, just some great things historical content, you know, reference. And then my other part, my other part of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection. So of artifacts and things that, you know, that document the African-American experience or the African experience, I guess, that if you were on some level. So, you know, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into through Black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved? Because I understand that you're from Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I ended up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. And I left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America, long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000-6,000 miles on my thumb, pretty much all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life, that really caused me to revisit, you know, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day, and
how old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was actually about 17.
Really?
No, I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that
point. Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
what are the chaplain, for those of us who don't know? Obviously, we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like, how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys, is not there to take but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players, because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids, their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, you know, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived six coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably well, I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with you know, getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is of course, you can imagine, when I was 25 years of age when this happened, and my first year, my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, "You mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me." And so it was earning their respect. But I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and trying to, and the sincerity of my heart by asking questions. And it's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world, so I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male growing up and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself, about history, and it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
And so I'd bring home a video, let's say, a series called Africa, A Voyage of Discovery by Basil Davidson. It was a BBC series. A man from Great Britain, and then I'd pick up the Eyes on the Prize, Part 1, Part 2, The Promised Land, about the move from the South to the, especially the Chicagoland area, and I just began to read books, and then I bumped into Ivan Van Sertima, and I remember calling him up. Someone gave me his home phone number. I called him up, and I said, you don't know me, and I barely know you, but I would like to get to know you. And what happened is that he began to share things with me, and then he got my address. The next thing I knew, 3 weeks later, I got a big, huge box of his books that he edited and wrote. And then I called him back and asked him if he would become my historical guide, my main historical guide. And we spent hours on the phone together where I'd read a book, and I'd redline it. I'd ask all kinds of questions. And he let me ask any off-the-wall question that was ricocheting around my little pea brain. It was just a fascinating experience.
Wow.
We had a great time talking. He's passed away now since 2009. And I miss him, you know, on many levels, but especially just hanging out with him on the phone, just talking with him about various things, bouncing ideas around. So that kind of was the genesis to, and then I met a gentleman by the name of Mark Mitchell, who has a huge Black History collection, and Mark and I began to talk, and I just saw the power of his collection. The impact it had, it is a transcendent quality, transcending race and gender and generation and religion, class. I mean, just fascinating. And so I began to, he became a mentor of mine, and I began to develop my own collection, which is now well over 3,000 pieces. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. I've been able to do exhibits at the United Nations twice. And plus, they've used some of my pieces and information on international exhibit that's going around the world right now. Clinton Presidential Library have done things in conjunction with the White House communication staff. Also, Secret Service, 4 years in a row, FBI. Just fascinating stuff that
Wow. Has
emerged as a result of this collection. It's opened up doors. And I find that, especially when I'm speaking about diversity or Black history, it opens up the minds and hearts to receive what I have to share, because when people see 20, 30, 40 pieces of my collection and exhibit before I speak, you know, now they're intrigued. What's this? What's this white guy all about? What's his deal? You know, what's motivating him? And that's the cartoon bubble above everybody's head, and so I'm able to respond best I can to that. In fact, I have a website called White Man's Story.com. That white man's, no apostrophe on the S, man's, but whitemansstory.com. And that's my online response to that question that people have about, you know, what motivated me to get involved.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit more about this amazing collection that everybody is talking about, of course, that you indicated, you know, over 3,000 pieces. I think I saw in your video or somewhere where it even had like the shackles, if you will, for like that some of the slaves may have, you know, worn or what have you, in addition to so many other different things. What are some of the other standout items that are included in the collection? And I understand that it is online to some degree.
Yes, blackhistorycollection.com. Gives kind of a brief overview of some of the pieces, but it's blackhistorycollection.com, singular. And, you know, that one pair of shackles that I received, I was over in Ghana at the Slave Coast Castle, and I was talking with a gentleman there. His name was Stephen Donica. And I began to share with him a little bit about, you know, the film that I had co-created with Don Griffin and the book and some other things in my collection. And then I said, how would it be possible for me to get a pair of shackles, a set of shackles from here, from Africa? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he brought everything before the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set to me, which he sent to me, and I just blown away that they were that kind, and because I'm sure it's not an unlimited number of shekels they have available, and for them to do that, I just feel so respected by these the individuals who voted on this, and of course also Stephen Danica, and so the other pieces I have. What I've tried to do, Gary, is to develop kind of a more of a global picture, because I find that here in America and in some parts of Canada also, there's this intractable black-white situation where it's very hard to understand, to cross the no man's land, or so to speak, between the two races. And so I tried to bring more of an international view. And because I really think that once people begin to realize that there were things going on in South America, in fact there's well over 3 million that speak Spanish and Portuguese, people of African descent in South Africa. And many people can't imagine that and cannot understand it. But it just is. I have documents going back to 1553 from Peru, from Ecuador, from Argentina. Some of them are written in Old Spanish, so that even if someone knows Spanish today, they cannot even read these other documents. You have to have a specialized understanding about the Old Spanish script. And these are all slave documents. I've got an 11-page document from a hospital where slaves were, if they got sick, that's where they went, St. Bartholomew. Just outside of Lima, Peru, and it's just an astonishing thing. And then also what I've tried to do with the collection is I tried not to spend so much time documenting the horrific nature of the slave trade and all the rest of it, even though that's a part of the picture and is a necessary part of the picture. What I've tried to do is to showcase the inventiveness of it, and the creativity of people who have been under the boot of slavery and the trade, and
and what have you found Jim Crow for the most laws. Part? Right.
Well, what I've discovered is I developed a metaphor that is not new, but I've applied it to this situation. It's called Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. I commissioned a 90-second animated video that people can see on YouTube, Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. And the concrete is a metaphor for all the horrific things that have happened, ranging from lynching, the black code laws, and the depression where blacks were hired last and fired first, and just so many issues that it's impossible to exaggerate the horrific nature what people endured. But then we talk about the blades of grass who came up through, cracked through, and sometimes exploded through the concrete. So the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. So by using this metaphor, it gives permission to talk about the horrific nature without it being a downer. Because then, as I mentioned, the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. Once we get to understand how terrible it was, and then we see the accomplishments of individuals in spite of how terrible it was, my goodness, I say, I think I've got problems. Here's an example of somebody who had everything stacked against them, and they still made something of their lives and an inspiration to their families. I mean, we all have concrete internally. Stuff like, hey, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't make it, I'm a fraud. If people really knew what I was all about, that's the stuff that echoes in the minds and the hearts of just about every human being. And at one point or another, that can actually rob them of their purpose and their potential.
Right.
And so that we all have that internal concrete. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. My ears are too big, my ears are too small, my hair is not enough. All that kind of stuff that gurgles around. But then you add to it the systemic issues in a culture that provide external concrete that actually can become so terrible and so demanding of a person's attention that it can actually cripple them and come rolling over them and just say, well, I guess I'm nothing. I might as well commit suicide. I might as well do something harmful to myself so that I sabotage my own success. But here are people that came up through it in spite of it. And that to me is, I just shake my head. And every time I see pieces from Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Frederick Douglass and Toussaint Louverture and other individuals, Marcus Garvey, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of individuals, Pearl Bailey. It just is astonishing to me what these individuals accomplished. And so what I've tried to do is develop a touchstone, if you will. For instance, like Pearl Bailey, I have the actual check that she was paid for her part in Porgy and Bess. And someone, I'm not going to tell you how much it was, because someone might say, how much was that? I'm going to say you have to go to blackhistorycollection.com. and do a search for Pearl Bailey, and you'll find out how much she was paid for her part in the movie that came out in the early 50s. And so it just is amazing when you think of what people like her accomplished. I have Ethel Waters, her contract, her book, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It was a smash bestseller. And I have the actual contract signed by her and her co-author, the one who, the ghostwriter, not the ghostwriter, because he was declared that he wrote the book, but co-author with her, Charles Samuels. And then I have other items in here.
Well, Dr. Freeman, was it hard to kind of gather these items? How do you find these items? I mean, is it easier nowadays because of the internet, I guess I should ask?
It's actually very difficult. If someone were to embark upon a collection like this
if I were to start a collection today, I don't think I would be able to do it.
Be virtually impossible, and I'm not kidding. It is. Wow. I know what's out there and what's not out there, and it is the stuff that you get now are just reproductions, and there's a lot of fakes, and it's very hard. For instance, I have an original letter, handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. It's almost priceless because where could you find one? You know, someone might say, "Well, I've got everything." No, you don't. You don't have a handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. You know?
No, that's huge.
Someone like an Oprah or you name the names out there of individuals that would be interested. I mean, if they went out to look for it, they couldn't find some items that I've been able to bring together.
Wow. Well, I have to say, let me just remind everybody and kind of bring everybody up to where we are. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, today's guest is Dr. Joel Freeman, and he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute in Maryland. And we've been kind of following along and just thoroughly impressed with the amount of information that you have. You are truly a historian in every sense of the word, and an entrepreneur, and you just cover everything, really. I don't think I've seen anybody in a long time like this who I just we're all blown away with this kind of information, this knowledge, and the willingness that you share putting it out there, and it's quite remarkable. So I'm going to kind of turn to, I do want to talk a little bit about Annie Malone and some of the other folks that you write about. And I know we kind of glossed over the book a bit that you wrote with the gentleman, Don Griffin, I believe.
Don Griffin, yes.
So I want you to talk about the book specifically. Tell the folks a little bit more. Are we able to get a copy of this book?
Yes, it can be gotten online on Amazon or anywhere else. And or they can contact me after the program or something like that, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for them and send it to them.
Sure.
Right. But
it's called The Return to Glory. I just want to make sure that's clear. Return to Glory.
Subtitled The Powerful Stirring of the Black Man. And the first half is all about the historical content, and that's the half that Don wrote. The second half has to do with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap to wholeness. And in that last part, I detail how a person can walk through the grieving process. Because I remember when I was interviewing people for the book, especially because the book is targeting especially young men, ages about 12 to about 27. And while we were researching this, we had people tell us, "You're crazy. You know, why would you want to write a book? Because if you want to hide something from young African-American men, you just put it in a book, right?" That's what they're telling us.
Right.
And they said, you're wasting your time. You got to use more visual, music, whatever, other means and methodologies to reach your target audience. But we kept on going with it, and I'll tell you.
Which is a horrible stereotype all in it, unto itself.
It is, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was the messaging message we were getting from people we were interviewing for the book.
Right.
So anyway, what happened is the second half deals with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap. And so what I did is you can imagine on a suspicion scale from somewhat to extremely suspicious, we're banging on the extremely suspicious end of the scale when I'm interviewing someone, let's say, for the book. And they're saying, you know, why are you writing this book, and who are you, and what are you all about? And so what I did is I asked a question that changed the tone of every single interview and brought some of us from some interviews from 45 minutes to sometimes 4, 6, maybe even 8 hours, some dear friendships emerging. And here's the question that changed the tone of every single interview. Do you remember the moment when you realized that because of the color of your skin, that the rules were somehow different for you? Now, by asking that question, to have a 65-year-old man pause, look out the window, and then look back at me, and then tell me with brilliant clarity what happened when he was 5 or 6 years of age, knowing remembering the weather, what he was wearing, his mother's response when he told her about it, and just, my goodness, that question changed the tone, because I began to then see that there was a whole grieving process. After that moment, whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 19 or 20 years of age, depending on the situation, to then go from that moment to what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote when she was still alive. She wrote a book about the grieving process. And grieving, we've all lost loved ones or lost a dream, but grieving is all about loss. And so the loss that I began to identify, because my PhD work is in psychology and I think in that direction, began to see that the loss had to do with, it was the loss of innocence. That all of a sudden a young kid, a young boy, young girl, a young individual, suddenly it's like the scales have been taken off. It's like the blinders have been taken off, and they now can see, wow, they hate me just because of the color of my skin? You got to be kidding me. And then the grieving process, ranging from denial to depression, just all the different aspects that go with the whole grieving process. And in the book, I spend a chapter on each layer, each aspect of the grieving process. And of course, it isn't a neat, nice and tidy, while I'm moving from one part to the next, and never to be revisited, but a person could be in whatever acceptance means, you know, because who knows what that means. A person could be in acceptance at 4:30 in the afternoon and be back at square one at 7 o'clock that night and working through the whole process again. So that began to really unlock to me the doorway, the gateway to understanding what humans go through in a situation like this. And it had an astonishing impact on me.
Well, you know something, Dr. Freeman, I have to ask you, and I think this is about as good a time as any. When you see all of the things that are happening in the country in these current times, and you being a person of faith and education and all the above, and what can you say, and how do you explain it? What are your thoughts on it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that humans are humans wherever we go. In other words, if you're a Korean in Japan, you're going to be experiencing some crazy situations. If you are a let's say a gypsy in Hungary or in Sweden, you're going to be experiencing situations that are very, very difficult. And if you're from one tribal system or another tribal system, warring against another tribal system in Africa, very similar dynamics. Same color of skin in all in these accounts, except Korean and Japanese might have just a variation of the color of skin. But and also in Mexico, if you're darker skin or lighter skin color, the darker skinned individuals deal with incredible discrimination. In Italy, if you're from North Italy versus South Italy, in Great Britain, just the sound of your speech, if you're from Yorkshire or Scotland, and you're talking with someone who is from London, you know, from a certain part of London, there's immediate, the moment the person opens their mouth, there's an immediate class system that emerges. My point being is that for me, I think that wherever we go, there's going to be this kind of situation. And I think it's important for us to understand the history so that we never repeat it, you know, personally. Let me tell you a quick story. I was down at Los Alamos National Laboratory some years back, about 10 years ago now. And I was speaking at their Martin Luther King event. And I talked about the moment, and I talked about the grieving process. And there was a gentleman there who was very high up at Los Alamos National Laboratory at the time, a man of African descent. He came up to me afterwards and began to share with me his story a little bit. And then after he shared with me his story, he said, you know, he says, when I experienced the moment, when I realized because of the color of my skin that the rules were somehow different for me, he said, it was like a hurricane force wind came against me. And he was no more than about 6-7 years of age. And he said, in fact, by the way, when you think about a hurricane, it takes about, 75 miles per hour for a wind to get a name. And he said that what happened is that I learned as a young man how to lean into the wind. I learned how to have a sense of humor in the midst of the wind. I learned, it was a dark sense of humor, but I had a sense of humor.
Right.
I learned how to be successful in spite of the wind. I learned how to have relationships with people in spite of the wind, but I knew the wind was there. And he says later on, he says, I rose very pretty high in the ranks. I got a job in Japan. He said, I went to Japan and got a tour there. And he said, the moment I got off the airplane, he says, wouldn't you know it, the wind stopped. And remember what I said about the Korean and Japanese. If you're Korean, the wind is at about 120 miles per hour for you. But as a man of African descent, he said the wind has stopped for him. About 3-4 weeks later, there were a delegation from D.C. came to visit. And he said they met at a restaurant. And he said within the first 5 minutes, he said, at the restaurant, he says, I felt the wind pick up again. It was just crazy and strange. Then he looked at me. He's a no BS kind of guy. He looked at me straight in the eye, and as serious as a heart attack, he said, for some reason, I don't feel any wind coming from you. Now, Carrie, I don't know. It just struck me so incredibly hard what he said to me. And I thought to I got in the car. I mean, we're I had to get to Albuquerque to get on the plane to come back to Baltimore. A couple of times I had to pull over because I was crying so much, because it meant so much to me. And I just, at that point, you know, I began to pray. I began to talk to God. I said, I never want to be a person who sponsors the wind for my wife, for my kids, for my next-door neighbors, people at church, people wherever I go, and be in cross-cultural situations. I don't want to be a sponsor of the wind. And not if, but when I do sponsor the wind, I just want to be man enough to go to that person, whoever it might be, and ask for forgiveness and apologize and repair as best as I can. Now, I think that is a metaphor, if you will, for how things can change. It's one by one, people reaching out and in spite of the pain. Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I think that's what it's all about, that in the midst, in spite of our wounds, in spite of the history, that we all seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's what Augustine said in the 4th century.
Wow.
Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Those are words worth embroidering. But
I love
what's cool about that statement is that it doesn't preclude the need to be understood, but it's all about understanding. And I think if every one of us, within the sound of my voice, myself included, if every one of us over the next 30 days said, I am going to seek to understand before seeking to be understood with our spouses, with our kids, our next-door neighbors, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think it could have a profound impact on our on the quality of our lives, on our experiences, and the impact on our work experience, everything that we can imagine. So that's,
wow.
That's what I think it needs to happen. And so every pore in my, every bone, every tissue in my body, every cell in my body, I want to be committed to that. I want to be committed to impacting other people, like the hot coal principle. The old days, we had the hibachi grill, and you put the briquettes in there, and there's only one or two that are hot, and then you kind of bring the other ones that are cold. You bring them up next to the hot ones, and you hope they catch fire. And so I just think if we can get just some people that are hot coal briquette coals, and with this message, and little by little, you know, the whole purpose behind the collection. I hold things lightly. You know, that collection, the whole purpose of the collection is to help create an opening in the hearts for people to hear this message. And my book, the books I write, you know, everything is all designed to help open up doors and hearts, minds to these kinds of things, to get out of small-mindedness, to kind of move. We can't deny the pain, but it's kind of like a ratchet wrench. You know, a lot of people view the click, 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 you know, the backwards movement.
Right, right.
Just as that, a backwards movement. But actually, when you think about the purpose of the ratchet wrench to loosen a bolt or tighten a bolt, when you do the click, 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 that's an important part of the whole purpose of the ratchet wrench. What's my point? The point is I think sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a look at our pain. Click, 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 and when it's uncomfortable, turn the music off, turn the external stimulation off, and just confront the pain. And we might have to do it in counseling. We might have to do it reading books. We might have to do it in prayer. In a lot of different ways we deal with the pain, but we all have to do that click, 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 and take the step back. But really, that step back is not a backward step. It's a forward step because now we're ready to confront the issues in our lives, to deal with people out of respect, mutual respect. Not me trying to be black or someone else trying to be white. It's just saying, hey, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not going to diss my own people. I'm not going to tear my own race down. I'm just going to be who I am. And I'm going to allow you to be who you are when you come into that 5-foot zone around me. And so that's what it's all about, I think.
Wow. Well, I think you put it eloquently, I have to say. Let's talk about just turning a little bit over towards the entrepreneurial part of things. And I love how you really, I have to say, I read a little bit closely about some of the items in terms of you helping corporations and helping folks in terms of diversity and all kinds of different things and customer service and just teaching and being there to help guide folks. I was just quite impressed with all of that, Dr. Freeman. So I want to kind of just talk for a moment, and maybe we need to start off by recognizing the impact of an Annie Malone, of C.J. Walker, and then kind of talk about entrepreneurship in just in general terms. And then I have something I want to mention to you, but why don't we start there? Why is it so important? And it seems like all these things are connected when I think about, you know, the Freeman Institute. It seems like all of these things that you do, there is a theme, there is a purpose for all of these different aspects that you tackle. You do a lot and you say a lot, and there's a reason, I believe. But I'd like for you to talk to that a little bit. You know, about the entrepreneurship and Annie Malone and all of that. Why did you decide to include Annie Malone as part of your wonderful site and information?
Well, Kerry, you are right. There's no more than 2 degrees of separation between any two things that I'm involved with. In fact, what I did is I think it's important for everyone to do this. But I figured every major corporation or organization, faith-based, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever, most every successful organization has a vision statement, mission statement, core values, code of conduct.
Right.
And I figure why not everybody else? Why not individuals develop that? And so what I've done is I developed my own vision statement, my own mission statement, my own core values, and I detail that in the workbook called "If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand." It's a book about entrepreneurship, about taking an idea to the marketplace. It's a book about discerning the difference between a viable business dream and a nightmare as quickly as possible. And it's also developed so that an organization could create an entrepreneur club so that people can learn how to deal with objections and learn how to deal with rejection. Because if people can deal with those two things, especially learning it young in life, they can be successful in whatever they do, objections and rejection. And so I think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, see, one of the things that I want to do is help community-based organizations and faith-based organizations establish galleries, Black History galleries in a community. And I think that a gallery can become, in fact, if someone goes to blackhistorygallery.com, blackhistorygallery.com, they can learn more about this model. Because I think the Black History Gallery can become like a town well for a community, where people can learn about morals and values and just entrepreneurship and so many different aspects of what it means to return to glory. And so then what happens is that as a person learns about entrepreneurship, in fact, I think especially with, let's say, an organization wanting to mentor youth, you know, if you come at a young person with the whole idea of morals and values, they're going to be gone in New York second. But if you come at them with the idea of how can we connect now with later, you know, where do you want to be down the road 5-10 years from now? And what are you doing now that will connect with 5-10 years from now? And, you know, if what you're doing now doesn't connect with 5-10 years from now, then we need to revisit what you're doing now. And we can do that in a very positive way and begin to understand that the future is a connection of the eternal now, you know, the moment, these moments that we connect together that become the future. And so I think it's important to bring a group of young people together, let's say, and say let's have an entrepreneur club. And by the way, let's develop an entrepreneurial business together. And I developed a whole magazine project around that that's going crazy around the country right now. And let's develop a project so that you can learn how to deal with objections and rejection. And then you can learn how to shake a hand firmly while you're looking squarely in someone's eyes. You can learn how to dress in a manner that's going to be one less speed bump for someone to go over to get to you as a person. We're going to learn how to just the way we communicate, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, time, tone, tact. We're going to look at all these different aspects. We look at your values, your morals, your character. But you see, all this stuff gets slipped in through the side door. And it's along the way, all this stuff becomes introduced because, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to make more money, if you want to be a person that has a greater purpose in life and attracts people to you, your counsel is in demand, you have to start looking at these other areas. But if you lead with that foot, the other area foot, it's going to drive them away. But if you lead with the foot, of success and entrepreneurship, because we're all either going to be an employer or an employee. And I prefer to train up employers, people with an entrepreneurial mindset that can end up hiring 100, 1,000, 10,000 people down the road.
Exactly.
And provide jobs for families. And that's the kind of mindset I like to prepare people for. And so that they're almost not content for anything else but that.
Exactly. Well, I love that. I really do. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Speaking of which, I see that you have the video there. I didn't get a chance to discover that before we began to chat today. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the Madam C.J. Walker items that you have. And I believe they're part of your collection. Or tell us a little bit about that, and how did you, you know, we'll turn to the hair part of it.
Okay.
How did you get that, and and talk a little bit about that. And I'm looking at your video, but I don't have the sound up. So, you know, walk me through a little bit of what all of that is about.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three or four people saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Right.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was.
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Paro College, it's just very simple. The first word is four letters. Paro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Paro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first people in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionairess of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what
based
I'm getting.
Timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that they
no
stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean, it was orderly, it was, I mean, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines, a wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's why the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All this time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So,
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. Wow. If you look it up on the Internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician, and of course his songs just took off, and you know, he never went back to it. But
right, amazing. So okay, well that explains a great deal for us on that, because I was just curious. I'm really sad to understand that she had that kind of a ending. But you know what? I always like to remind folks, and it always seems to me that it's always those who are incredibly talented and creative, and they always attract a certain kind of the opposite, if you will. I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. But anyway,
some
that's,
people make
I guess,
great
that's,
personal choices and bad business choices,
yeah,
and other people
right.
make bad business
it's the
bad
opposite,
personal choices
exactly.
and good personal choices.
Yeah, that's
I don't know,
amazing.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much. This is great. Folks, if you've just joined us, we have really been kind of getting a great education, a great understanding of so many historical elements and things that we, you know, we kind of knew a little bit about or we kind of heard about. And some of us have read some things, but not others. So we're so excited to have the gentleman behind the Freeman Institute. He is the founder, CEO, and president, Dr. Joel Freeman, and he's with us today. And this is just, I'm still kind of stuck on the 3,000, more than 3,000 pieces that you have in the Black History Collection. I can't wait to come and see that. So I'm very, very excited.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very excited
about it. Sure. So this is just wonderful. And we're going to tell the folks again, why don't you do that, Dr. Freeman? Tell the folks how they can reach you, how they can find out the items that they really need to focus on some of these. I mean, you have quite a bit of information.
Well, I think if people can go to blackhistorycollection.com, and then at the very bottom of the page is all of my contact information. And so then I'd be very happy to talk with them if they want to order a book, a film version of the book, Return to Glory, the entrepreneurship book, anything at all, or just want to talk maybe about something in there that they have a collection or a few pieces and they're wondering about it. I'd be very happy to talk with people. And so that's probably the best way, blackhistorycollection.com.
We're going to, of course, stay on top of all of this and bring you back, Dr. Freeman. We're going to keep, we've got you now. And there is a whole lot of this that we're going to delve into on a regular basis because this is something that's so critical and important for us to have a greater understanding about. And I feel so honored and lucky right now. I feel so lucky that I've been able to come across your information. I'm just very grateful. Now, I have to say, before we close out, I had mentioned this at the top of the interview. I love the quotes that you've assembled. I don't know who wrote them, but I just love them. One of them, and these are just a couple of them that I just said, oh, wow, how great. Patience is not waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. That's one. I love that. And I think that says so much. And my other favorite that I seem to just picked up again from looking at, I started at freemaninstitute.com, and I saw this, and it's like age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. I just love that. That says it all. So I want to just say you are just extraordinary. So you are.
People say
you're extraordinary.
I'm an expert in this or that. I'm not an expert. I'm just a student. And so I'll always be a student learning.
Wow.
Like someone once said that you can't learn with your mouth open. It's just more of a situation, you just really want to, I'm always someone that I want to just learn, because generally speaking, you aren't learning much when your lips are moving. And so I want to be a person who listens at least twice as much than I speak.
I
did a lot more speaking today than I.
Well, that's
than I
okay.
Like to do.
that's exactly what I was about to say. It's okay when your lips are speaking when they're educating so many people, countless folks who need to hear what you have to say. So I am so grateful. Now, are you on social media? We need to find out. Are you on social media at all?
I'm on Facebook. I've got about 16 pages. In fact, there's a page called Black History Collection. It's the only one on Facebook. Got over 10,000 followers on that and got some very, very cool stuff on that. And then, of course,
well, you're
my
about
name,
to have 10,001.
So it's Black History Collection right on the Facebook page. And then,
sure.
Of course, I have my own personal Facebook page, and I'd love to connect with anybody. And then I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and who knows about me and all
okay.
that kind of stuff that's out there.
So we can find you. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to have you back, as I said, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Well, do you have any closing thoughts? You've been so kind to just share your perspective on all of this and just someone who has done so much. Do you have any closing thoughts or words of inspiration or encouragement?
Well, I do. I think, speaking of the hair and beauty industry, I just see how Asians have pretty much taken over, and I'm not mad at them. I think they just took advantage of a situation that was open and available. I've developed a 10-year plan on how African Americans can take back the hair care and beauty industry, starting from the top down and the bottom up. And I think Annie Malone figures very much into this. I would love to see this booklet get into every beauty parlor, every beauty salon, every barbershop in the country, and have people learn about Annie Malone. And then I'd like to see the most senior people in the hair care beauty industry from the old guard companies, the new guard companies, come together. In the first year, not even deal with business things, just develop relationships. to take a look at the elephants in the room, to walk through all of that, to deal with that, and then have a united, just not a united front necessarily, even though that's important, but united, just be united and to really become good friends and understand how important this is. And then in the second year, start developing manufacturing and then distribution. And little by little, I think that there's a whole willing audience built around Annie Malone's story that could be wide open, because people will not buy black just for the sake of buying black. They want to buy something that is a good price, that's easily available, it is distributed well, is manufactured well, and you just check all the boxes off, and then someone will say, okay, now I'll buy whatever that product is. If it happens to be black, that's what I'm talking about, is to create a whole industry that can, because without the if the consumers are trained and understand what's going on, I think, and then there's a product and manufacturing and distribution all set up in place to deliver it, I think that within 10 years, the whole industry can turn around and it can become something that's well within the African-American community. But I think Annie Malone is the key for all of this.
Well, I just want to remind the folks, and the book that you're talking about, exactly the title and how we can get our hands on
that
book
again. Madam Walker's Role Model. It can be found on Amazon, eBay, but if they go to, if someone goes to Poro College, P-O-R-O, Paul Ocean, Ralph Ocean, porocollege.com, they can see how to order it. And I think it's such an important piece of history. You know, Carrie, I reached out to the top, the leaders in the hair care beauty industry, and only found two or three that even knew who Annie Malone was. And I said,
exactly.
I said, you know, that this is an important thing for people to learn about her, so then they can begin to reanimate her legacy.
Well, I'll tell you something. It starts today. Dr. Freeman, I want to thank you again for being our very special guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have you back to kind of, you know, continue this wonderful conversation. I think it was a great start, and you've helped to peel back just a little bit for us. And we've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. So we're going to have you back. Well, listen, I want to thank you again. And you, please remain on the line, Dr. Freeman. I'm going to close us out here, and we're going to chat. All right, folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Thanks so much, Dr. Freeman.
Get ready. Welcome, people.
At the all-natural
we
corner.
Are the all-natural corner. 12,000 rooms. We cater to all-natural body treatments, body products, skin care at the all-natural corner. Yeah, we got things for health, well, why not make your beauty more beautiful? At the all-natural corner, CMOS, bladder act. We got sour stock, moringa, everything that makes your body. Jersey 08046-267-670-9457. We got all natural products. We love the community. At the all natural corner. You can get it all.
At the all natural corner.
All you can come and get. At the all natural corner. At the all natural corner.
Yes, I was there and I talked to the manager and he let me know that all natural products was good for my body. He had 102 minerals for me and I was good, you know. I'm going to come back all the time because it's all right at the all natural corner. I can't say anything else.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two very special guests joining us today. Well, they're from the world of education. It is my honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel A. Freeman and welcoming for the very first time Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. We are honored to be with you this morning.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Carrie. We love being here and looking forward to our time together.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Dr. Freeman, we're going to kick off with you. You were kind enough to help us kind of launch the Hair Radio Morning Show 5 years ago, literally hundreds of episodes of this broadcast ago. And we're so excited because many of our listeners, you've touched folks around the world with your story. And so we're going to remind everybody about that, but I just wanted to officially welcome you back to the broadcast and how we were able to use that wonderful, wonderful interview as a great foundation for pushing us forward. And we're still here today. I think that's a big part of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm very thrilled at what you're doing and how you've done it, your integrity, your stick-to-itiveness, and it's an inspiration to all of us.
Wonderful. Well, listen, again, welcome to the show. And now I have to turn also to Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. You are from the Rochester, New York area, and you are, when I tell you, I was just blown away at your story when I started to do some research. School superintendent for years, literally author. Yes. So education, to put it mildly, is important. So Dr. Milton, I have to get in there. What, you know, where did this come from, this whole, you know, this journey that you are on, that you've been on? And this, I'm going to call it a track, I think, you know, so where did this come from in terms of jumping into the education or on the education wagon, I should say?
Well, you know, I had two teachers that impacted my life in ways in which one could never imagine. I had a teacher by the name of Adam Urbanski. He was a gentleman from Poland, and he talked about history. He's one of my high school history teachers, and he taught history in a way that you can only fall in love with. And he talked about the movers and shakers of history, the carriers of information, and how we have to learn to deconstruct things and find ourselves in the whole cloak of history. So he planted a major seed in me. Then I had a science teacher. Her name was Cassandra Frierson. And Cassandra Frierson said that I'm part of a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I was so glad to meet her because I had an experience in elementary school that my teacher attempted to teach black history, but she started off in slavery. And what happened, it had ushered so much shame and humiliation for me. So that those early years of my life, I was on this quest to find out some truths in history and where I played a role. And Dr. Frierson, or Cassandra Frierson, she said that my past is inexplicably tied to the beginning of time. And so as a result of those two individuals, I went into education, became a teacher, a principal, and then a school superintendent. and decided to step down and start my own company. And then it happened again. And when it happened this time, I said, I'm going to take action. When this whole quest and this desire and this love and passion for history came out, I said, I'm going to do something about it. So Joel Freeman was the first person that I've called. Joel has been a close friend of mine for many years, and I know that he is the curator of many African-American artifacts. And I said, Joel, would you go on this journey with me, man? And he didn't hesitate. Here we are, 2.5, almost 3 years later, with a finished product, and our goal is to share our love letter to the world. I mean, this is our divine purpose and our mission as to why we exist.
And that is the reason that you guys are here today. And that is to introduce us to this amazing new book. And I'm going to have to thank you, Dr. Milton, for that. I'm going to have to turn now to Dr. Freeman. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, first of all, again, welcome to the show. And just want to say we are going to turn to you to talk about this amazing new book. We want to make sure and get that on out there, Black History, An Inclusive Account of American History. Tell us about this book.
Yes, as Dr. Milton mentioned, it's a labor of love. It's 1,248 pages, weighs 5.5 pounds, has well over 2,500 images throughout, and about 500 of those images come straight from the collection my wife and I own. We own over 3,000 items. Documents and artifacts. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. And so we have put together, Walter and I, as he mentioned, we worked for about 2.5 years, putting in 12, 16-hour days and working. I'm telling you, it was just like Groundhog Day every day, just working at it and then going to sleep and working some more the next day and just day after day. So it was just both of us look at it right now and just go, we don't even know how it happened, except God's fingerprints are all over it. And we started in ancient Africa. And the reason why we started in ancient Africa is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that slavery was the beginning of Black history. We wanted to talk about the mores, the folkways, the hunting, the gathering, the fishing, the industry, the agriculture, the ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. And now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries. And even when we get into slavery and the slave trade, we have a whole section just about slave rebellions. We talk about the trickery used. And we have actual stories of how people were tricked into coming on the ship, and or to be kidnapped to get on the ship. So we wanted to give a whole different view about this that is not normally given, at least that we could find. And then there's a gentle timeline that takes us all the way through to the struggle for civil rights. We then. Once we have included that, then we get into the whole area of the economic system. We talk about arts, entertainment. We have a section on sports, Black quarterbacks, the integration of the NBA. And then we have a whole section on 50 states. And it's where we provide some insights into Black history in each state. So whatever state a listener is from, there will be some specific just a showcasing of what has happened in their particular state. Then the final unit is all about the North Star. It's over 100 pages where we have a timeline from 1491 on that describes all that happened, their interaction between United States and Canada, And then we tell stories. We share stories from mid-1800s from a book called Refugees that a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew went north, and he interviewed a lot of people, and then he put 114 stories, their life stories, into the book. And so in our textbook, we start in Vancouver all the way over to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and everything in between. The Don Settlement with Josiah Henson, and so on and so forth. So it's really a wonderful way to show how people from the South, many suffered from Stockholm Syndrome, many just, you know, just the whole, how does a person leave not knowing where they're going to be going, and if they're going to get caught and maybe get killed or, get chastised in a horrific ways. And then the fugitive slave laws pushing them into Canada. So we really Walter and I have put together a book that the response we've been getting from around the country has truly been heartwarming, and we are very grateful to be the instruments used to be able to help put this together. And of course, as we've expanded after the writing was done, our wives are very much a part of this project, and we're grateful to them. And then more people came on that helped with curriculum design, with search engine optimization, media relations, professional development, and many other aspects that helped to, we now have a team of over 75 people that have helped to bring this to bear.
Well, I'm going to say, I think you have at least 76. I'm on board, too. Make sure and add me on
okay.
in to that list. I saw that extensive list on your site. I was, at bh365.org. I was quite impressed. Listen, I want to make sure I get the title right. I don't. I think I just introduced it as Black History, but it's actually Black History 365, an inclusive
correct.
Account of American history. Is that correct?
Yes.
We landed on 365 because many times people view Black History Month as the main time to talk about Black history. But we decided that this is something that is an inclusive account of American history. That's the subtitle. And we also quote from a gentleman on the back cover. He's a quote on the back cover. His name is James Baldwin. He said, "American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it." And that's really, when Walter and I saw that quote, we just said, that's got to be on the cover. It's because that encapsulates what we have done.
Absolutely.
I have to say, as a matter of fact, Dr. Milton, I was going to ask you, being, of course, an educator as you are, and being out in the school system, how did that play a part? Because I just imagine that you were close, you were real, you had a real front row seat to what the kids needed, to what the students needed to learn. So I'm going to ask you, how did that play a part, or did it play a part in how you kind of, decided to come up with this idea that you guys have, worked on?
Well, it played a major part. What I saw in my years of education and what I still see now in working with school systems across the country is that there's a direct correlation with the lack of culturally competent instruction and educational approaches to the negative impact that has on student achievement. We also discovered that the lack of historical content has been a significant influence, sir, of negative outcomes for Black students and communities, including lack of self-awareness, lack of self-esteem, lack of intrinsic motivation, decreased academic achievement, truancy, discipline referrals, and even some cases some criminal activity. Because what we found when our young people, not only Black children but all children, when they have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, and the impact that their ancestors had made on this world, it just increases all the negative things to turn right into the positives because we make that connection. And so what we found and discovered that the world, particularly America, is begging for something like this because of the past, our history that we have and how those things still impact us to this day. So we wanted to really look at those things. We really wanted to look at the whole impact of the incarceration system and how that connected to education. And what we found is that there's this critical gap. And we believe that we have a solution for this gap. One of the things that we really focus on, and Joe will probably talk about that a little later, I'll just introduce the concept, but we said we need to develop critical thinkers, compassionate listeners, fact-based, respectful communicators, and action-oriented solutions. And we believe that BH365 will serve as an impetus to make that happen and to make our world a better place here in America and to bring about a great deal of healing because we clarify things and misconceptions that we've been operating on for many years.
That's just, I'm blown away. And I have to say, Dr. Milton, and I was really touched, and I know we're here, we're going to absolutely get into every single aspect of Black History 365, you guys' new book, which is being used in the schools. But I have to draw some attention to when I came across one of your earlier books that talked about this. The title is A Matter of Life or Death, Why Black Men Must Save Black Boys in America's Public Schools. And I know you've written a couple of books, but that was... I read a little bit of the synopsis, and I was just very impressed. So thank you for all the work that you are doing, that both of you are doing on this incredible, incredible topic that, believe me, even, you know, I could put this on every day, you know, for years, and it would still just be scraping the surface of what needs to be done. But it's a wonderful thing to do as much research, and you guys can hear it. You've done a lot of research. I see the work, and it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So thank you both for that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, well, very much welcome. Well, listen, if you guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's my pleasure to welcome these two incredible educators to Hair Radio, and Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's been with us before. We're so excited to welcome him back. It's been 5 years, and he's joined, of course, or we're joined with Dr. Walter Milton Jr., who we're also excited, a New Yorker, a fellow New Yorker, to the broadcast. And now, Dr. Freeman, you're in Maryland area, correct? Aren't you still out in Maryland?
Yes, not far from Annapolis.
Okay, and so we have a lot to talk about because just trying to catch everybody up a little bit, and then I have some more questions for you, Dr. Milton, but just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Dr. Freeman, I recall that you started off early on and you were a chaplain for, wasn't it the NBA, and you did all these amazing things and just had such I think it was, well, what seemed on that interview, just a deep understanding for folks at an early age. And that's what I got from that. And I was just quite impressed and went on to create that whole space with all these artifacts that you have that chronicle the lives of folks all the way to Africa and here. And so I'm just very impressed and, you know, just happy to have you here. So what can you tell us about your collection these days? Anything? Of course, we've got your book, which is going to be a big part of that, Black History 365, but what else can you tell us about the collection that you have amassed all of this? And I know you have pictures inside the book, inside of Black History 365.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big part of the book and a big part of, I think, the contribution, because it's exclusively available to the book, the images. There's now over 4,000 high-resolution images.
Amazing.
And anyone who tries to put together something like this without images, it just, I mean, it's just very difficult. And what people, when we went to the printers in Ohio who manufactured this book, one of the young men, I don't know how long he'd been working there, but maybe a decade or two or close, 15 years maybe, and we were just talking with him, and he says, yeah, he says, when I came in this morning, I thought I was working on a National Geographic project. and so the collection is made up of over 3,000 items. We've done 2 exhibits at the United Nations. We had over 1 million visitors. I've done 3 in concert with the White House. I've done 2 at the Clinton Presidential Library. Done a number with Secret Service at their headquarters in D.C. and a number of other venues around the country. And it's just been wonderful. And when Walter called me about this project, I didn't have to think about it because I knew intuitively that, you know, I had been building this collection, and it's perfect for a curriculum in terms of the types of items. I would pass over 200 items to get to that 201st item that would help tell the story. And so I was very selective about the items that I collected and brought together. So it's kind of a unique type of collection, and I think when people get the textbook and they start looking at the images, especially the first 2 units, because the first 2 units are about ancient Africa and slavery and the slave trade. So I have a number of items. For instance, I have one item when I was in Elmina Castle in Ghana on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And I met with the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set of shackles, an actual set of shackles from Elmina Castle. And I was truly humbled and honored by that because I don't think they did that very often.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of stories behind many of the pieces of the collection. Just had over 75 given to me and you know, had to acquire a lot of things myself, but this gentleman, his father, worked for TWA Airlines.
Well, so did I. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, small world.
So he was responsible for all the continent of Africa back in the 40s and I think 50s, right in that range. And he had, of course, being with working in the airline and into Africa, he had many people sourcing original artifacts. We're not talking about stuff for tourists. I mean, original, like doors on a chief's hut, you know, and shackles and masks and figurines and all sorts of items. Well, his dad passed away. Of course, his dad, working at the airline, could ship it back to California.
Sure.
And when he passed away, my friend told me, he said, I'm going to make sure that there's a number of these that are in your collection. He had this sense of urgency, and my friend Pat passed away about 3 months ago, and he had this urgency to get these items to me, and he wasn't even sick, you know, just had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. And so I feel very honored, and am holding those items very carefully, and we have some of them pictured in the textbook in honor of him and his family.
Wow, that's very nice. I have to say, just when I look at this amazing book, Black History 365, and you mentioned 1,248 pages, I have to wonder about the schools. Like, how have the folks received this book, the textbook? Dr. Milton, let's ask you that. How has it been received by the teachers and the students for that much?
They have received the book extremely well. Many of them are not only saying that this is for 9th through 12th grade students, many of them are saying this engages all ages. This should be a book that's in every household across this country, in particular, and in general across the world. because it had so many features. It really does. Also, Morehouse College down in Atlanta is going to be one of the first colleges launching the textbook in January. We are also in a conversation with Hampton University in Virginia that's going to do that. And then we have had a number of people who have purchased personal copies of the textbook. So we believe that it has this book throughout the pages. It's a healing mechanism. I just want to quickly go back, if you can indulge me for a quick second,
sure.
To talk about these images. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with Joel, but it was an extremely tedious task to find the images. And he, like he said, he would go through 200 images just to get to that 201 to say, hey, this is it here. I mean, it wasn't anything that was easily done. I mean, it was arduous and it was daunting. And in some cases, I saw and felt the pain that he went through just to make sure that it was beyond excellent, because the images not only tell a story, the images bring the words alive of that book.
Wow. I'm blown away. I love as you respond to this and you're just painting an amazing picture of Black History 365. Now, how do folks find this book, Dr. Milton? How do folks get their hands on a personal copy or an edition for, you know, like you said, it should be in every household?
Absolutely. Well, we're asking the world to go to bh365.org. That's bh365.org. And one of the major features that we have in the book, besides the many QR codes, because we wanted to have a strong integration of technology, we've also embedded music in the book from award-winning Grammy producer by the name of Dr. Kevin Cates, affectionately known as Kale. And Kale has developed 40 songs. He's a producer for Jay-Z, T.I., Rick Ross, Drake, Snoop Dogg, and a host of others. So we have an expert who has put together amazing songs, and he got the words from the text. And they are just powerful. I mean, they will bring tears to your eyes.
Is this kind of like a soundtrack for the book?
Yes, you can definitely say that. And as Joel said, we have a Hamilton in the making.
I see.
Yeah,
wow.
I call it an anthology of Black history, because basically we've done is, you know, he's doing a song for each chapter, lifting lyrics from the text itself and the concepts surrounding the text. And so you start in ancient Africa and bring it all the way up to George Floyd, some of the things that are happening in our culture today. It's like ripping pages out of the headlines, the way we've done it. And then we have an e-book version that is available, and so that will allow us to even add more items, you know, as things happen in our culture, so that we can continue to keep it updated and in the e-book version.
And that's important, right, always to make sure that, I keep going back to, I forget whose book it was, but I like that word living, like it, living history. It just keeps on going, and I love that. I have to tell you, this is just amazing. We're talking with the authors of this amazing book, the folks behind Black History 365, this amazing, incredible book. We're talking with Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., so we're real excited to have them with us today. 1,248 pages. This is a huge book, but it is packed with so much information and knowledge that we need. And I can't say it enough. I really can't. I think this is a game changer out there. Dr. Freeman, why was this so necessary, though? Well, you know, there are tons of books. Folks will say, all the books that were out there when I was in school, and those history books seemed just fine. what do you say to folks who say something like that, Dr. Freeman?
Well, every time there is a racially charged incident in America, there are some very smart people, passionate people who get on TV. You know, we affectionately call them talking heads. And you can almost, if you're running a betting game, you could bet that someone's going to say, in so many words, we need to have a national conversation around the topic of race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, perhaps that same person will be saying the same thing. And you know, people protest in different ways. We have comedians who use comedy expertly to protest. Some write books. Some will write poetry. We remember the protest songs of the 60s and the protesting in rap music and hip-hop music. And some protest by demonstrating, marching. The way Walter and I protest is by putting in the 2.5 years, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution to the education gap in America. Our protest is we look at it in terms of a solutionist approach so that we can start these conversations. So we have something in the textbook that is proprietary to BH365 is we have something called the Elephant Experience. Now, the Elephant Experience, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the Elephant Experience, but it's a whole idea of, okay, we have these topics that people don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. And topics that cause some people to talk at or past each other. Some people block each other on Facebook or other types of social media. And so what Walter and I wanted to do is to come up with a process. Cause why an elephant? You know, connection with Africa. Hey, there's an elephant in the room. Probably your favorite joke in second grade was, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time, one bite at a time. So there has to be a process, a schema, a methodology for dealing with the elephant. And then, of course, the hippocampus of an elephant is extremely large. And their EQ matches and rivals that of chimpanzees and some species of dolphins. So it has to be something that's sticky, something that is that engages, not just momentarily, but for the long term. So that's what we did. So topics such as 3/5 of a human being, Uncle Tom, the N-word, reparations. Are we in a post-racial society after having a black president for 2 terms? Can a white person ever truly understand the black experience in America? Scientific racism, lynching, and should we tear the statues down? Things like that, topics like that, that we have a certain process that is a healing process, not a divisive process, where students can where we have professional development trainers that train the teachers in setting the environment so the students can create an environment that allows for these topics to be dealt with in a way that is beneficial. And where there's a binary choice, we have QR codes that provide the pro and the con, you know, the for and against views. And so it invites people outside of their confirmation bias bubbles and gets them into a realm where they begin to see the other side and or at least hear the other side. And then using the Socratic method, the students engage around it and come up with individual or perhaps even collective understanding about something. So to get back to your original question, the need for something like this, and the response we're getting from principals, from educators, from superintendents, from people who have, historians. I was talking with a historian the other day, and he was saying he's up to page 500 already in the textbook.
Wow.
And he was saying that he was just delighted. He said, oh, my goodness. He's checking out the QR codes. He's engaging with it. And he just said, I just cannot believe a resource like this is finally available. This is what I've been talking about all my life, and a resource like this.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when it comes to the distinctives, we believe that we have something that is very uniquely crafted. It's designed for healing. It's truth-centric. It's, you know, it has the music attached to it. It has QR codes, so it's engaging with technology. We start in ancient Africa, so we're not reinforcing implicitly or explicitly the notion that black history started slavery. So we bring all these elements together that we've discussed, and we brought it into one textbook. Now, you know, we're also planning to create a K through 8, so K2, 3, 5, 6, 8 grade bands. Those are coming. And we're using the 9 through 12 textbook, which, by the way, engages all ages. We're using that backbone information to then be contextualized in the 6 through 8, 3 through 5, and K through 2 programs. So now, getting back to how I started this response, now we're starting to get people, to kids, to start talking about the tough topics in a contextualized manner from kindergarten on. And hopefully we'll be able to measure results with the students, the teachers, and perhaps even the parents. And, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years, 12 years from now, to see what kind of impact this can have on our society that is so polarized politically, and to really get people to engage using coming through the lens and the gateway of history, which an inclusive account of a history, so that we can somehow see healing happen in our country.
I totally agree. I was thinking as you were just explaining that, I'm thinking to myself as well, you know, that's the thing. We are all, you know, when we look back at how when we were in school and taught history, and it really does, I hate to say, but it really, that's kind of where you, what you get is, you know, for black history, anything that's relating to black culture is usually starting with slavery. And so I so appreciate what you have just described in Black History 365. I so appreciate it because just to be able to connect back to Africa and just see a place in, you know, how, you know, folks of black descent just African descent, rather, just figure into everything. So it's amazing to me, and I have I'm kind of blown away just to talk to you about it. So I'm excited for folks to get their hands on Black History 365. It is important. It's an important book. So what else is there out there? You and Dr. Milton, as you mentioned, there is music involved in all of this as well. Can I get my hands on some of this so I can play some of those songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show? We'd love to get some of those music files over here.
Well, it's awesome. It's probably the music is so good, and I can't wait till you hear it. And I think that maybe Joe and I could send you a demo copy for your
Absolutely.
Ears only. Because it's going through the process of being produced and recorded, and so we're going through all the legal aspects of that. But in the meantime, we can give you something that you could look forward to coming out. And I think that we would love to have you once we get the green light to play it on your show, because it's going to be a Grammy award producing. Set of music, and I give all the accolades to God first, but I give them to K.O., who was used by God to do this work. I mean, the music is incredible, and as the kids say, it is highly dope. So,
awesome.
So I think that, you're going to love it. You really are, and, you know, Joel and I are just so honored that you allowed us to be here today to share this one of the most passionate things in our lives, you know, black history. And Joel talked about us being utilized as a vessel. You know, we had many moments that we worked throughout the day, and we'll talk, you know, how do we get here? How do we do this? Where did this come from? And we just know that this was all divinely inspired. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I want to just, before we close out on this part today, I definitely want to just make sure everybody is aware of, again, how to get their hands on Black History 365, your website. Please give us that again. You know, Dr. Freeman, Dr. Milton, please tell everybody how to get their hands on this amazing book.
Yes, BH365.org. BH365.org.
Okay, and that is just awesome. And we're real happy about that. Yes, indeed. And also, just to let everybody know that you guys, this is not the end of Black History 365 on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm so happy and honored that you guys are here. You know, we're announcing right now just an interview arc where we're going to have a few shows at this time, and then we're going to roll out something long-term that kind of can, you know, take parts of this amazing book. We're going to say Black History 365 is the name, and we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth. We wanted to just kind of do a quick introduction, if you will, and talk about some of the things that are inside of this amazing book. And I've got to tell you, we're going to be able to get into some of, before I let you guys go today, we're going to tease this because I want to get your opinion of things that are happening today and how you can tie them to Black History 365, Black History 365, and I know that you can. And we're going to have that a little later for you guys, or we'll put it on our website as well. So that's just a nice little tidbit that we'll get into a little later. But first, again, I want to thank you. Before we go, Dr. Freeman, why don't we start with you? Is there any last thoughts or anything you want to kind of close out this portion today of our interview? Anything you want to leave us with? Like those amazing sayings that you used to have. You used to give us all these wonderful sayings that I always love. Anything that you want to tell us today?
Well, I think that the main thing I wanted to, that comes to my mind right now is that this textbook is transcendent. You know, as we say in the subtitle, an inclusive account of American history. And so the whole idea of the term inclusive, I want everyone who's listening to realize that this is an opportunity to engage all ethnicities and ages, you know, in terms of young and older generations, different backgrounds. Some are come from more urban areas and some come from more rural areas, socioeconomic aspects. We've tried to include everything. Plus, when it comes to STEAM or STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and I like to put in arts, and then M for mathematics. We've provided different
STEAM
aspects. Sorry?
No, I was saying yours is STEAM, not just STEM.
Yeah,
STEAM. I like that.
That's right, STEAM. There's STEM and STEAM, and I prefer STEAM. But so if people are looking for this to engage on all aspects, you know, we have some very interesting topics. I was talking with someone just recently, and she was saying that she says, "Well, I'm an educator," and she said, "My response to this once I started looking at it is I don't really know that much," and we don't want that to be the takeaway. But we want it to be the incentive that when people approach this topic, you know, and we talk about the Great Migration to the north and then to the west, you know, that it, all the different topics, the Harlem Renaissance, and we even have a whole section in there, Carrie, that I think you'll love, is what about taking back the hair care and beauty industry?
Well, that's coming up in our next segment.
We have a whole section on that in the
textbook. I
thought I'd spring
that on you a little later. Yeah.
So that's on my mind. That's all. It's the inclusive nature of the textbook. Walter?
Texas Bay 365.
Well,
yes,
I just wanted to say we didn't have an opportunity to talk about our advisory board, but hopefully we can do that next time we come back on. We have incredible people like Kathy Hughes, Benjamin Crump.
All my favorite folks. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Agabriar Bryson, the grandson of, I mean, great-nephew of Annie Malone.
Yeah.
You'll know
yeah.
Annie Malone. Joel has done a lot of extensive work regarding her and a host of other wonderful people. But I want to leave with celebrating you, Carrie, because I know that you bring so many people. You give so many accolades, you know, through your work. But I want to give you an accolade. You know, just my short time of knowing you and hearing about you and researching you as well, you are truly a merchant of hope. You carry hope in the, for so many people's lives. You know, and I can hear that hope in your voice, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I just want to wish you the best always.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. It means a lot. I appreciate that. And I have to tell you, when I hear those names and, you know, Kathy Hughes, she's been my, you know, starting out in radio and being one of my favorite folks in radio. And back when I didn't see many folks who are African-American doing that and just being such a big forerunner out there, I'm just blown away. And Benjamin Crump has been on my show. He's been on our broadcast just like you guys. And so I had a chance to chat with him, of course, and even Akbar, I think the gentleman, I've chatted with him as well. So, and Annie Malone, all of this comes full circle. So I just have to say I'm blown away. And again, I want to thank you guys personally. This book is important, Black History 365. The website is bh365.org. You need to get a copy of this book. And we're going to make sure that you do that. And if you need to be put in touch, and I got to say this last thing, Dr. Freeman, I have to say, I had told everybody, I'd put it out on Facebook that you were coming back to the show, and I posted all this about Black History 365, the book and the picture and all of that. And my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, who the listeners out there know, he's been with us many times. He's a trained economist and all of this. He's deep in history, studying all of this. And he rarely, you know, pipes up to ask me about anything. You know, he sees my radio show, you know, guests from time to time. This is the only time he said, you must introduce me to Dr. Freeman. He didn't know about you at that time, Dr. Milton.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And I said, I kid you not. He said to make sure. So I said, well, when I speak with you, I'm going to get your permission, but I'm going to introduce him to you guys. Because I think that he's, Dr. Leroy Hines, he's been out there, and as I said, the listeners know, he always comes on and gives us all kind of, you know, in terms of current affairs and all that wonderful good stuff. But I have to say, I think he's definitely, you guys, you're definitely going to have a great time. That's all I can say. That's amazing work. So thank you so much. And you guys out there are going to have to stay tuned for the next part of this episodal arc with these amazing guys. Again, it's my pleasure to thank Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton Jr. for being part of this broadcast today. Again, the book is Black History 365. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
The natural hair care and maintenance training being brought to you by Complete Beauty Solutions, where cosmetology meets healthy naturalism and everything in between. Now offering our half-off introductory special all summer long. So log on to cbeautysolutions.com to sign up. That's C, like complete, then beautysolutions.com. We'll also be on the number one hair radio show, so don't miss out.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
My deepest despair. Will you still care? situations, through our doubts and frustrations, in my violence, in my turbulence, through my fear and my confessions, in my anguish and my pain, through my joy and my sorrow, in the promise of another tomorrow, I'll never let you part.
And I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Morning coffee, vanilla latte serve to go. Drink it slow.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Friday morning. It's June 25th of 2021, and I am so excited. It's our show number 579 as we march towards show number 600. Show number 600. But first, I am bringing to the line two incredible folks who join us on Friday mornings in the last hour, kind of really sending off the weekend with literally a big bang. It is my honor and pleasure to welcome back the one and only Elder Michael Kelly and Evangelist Shante Kelly, the Kellys. Good morning. Good morning. Boss it up. By the way, let me just get that on out. Good morning, guys. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Boss up. How's everybody doing? It's Shante, Boss It Up Kelly. And
Michael Kelly, what's going on? How y'all living?
I call him Money Mike, but or my boy ass, but my best friend.
Yes,
but hey.
Money Mike. I love it. Awesome. Well, I was just saying to Shante and Michael, I hadn't talked to them in a while. I'm like, it's weird because when sometimes we preempt the shows and we have other things and taking breaks and this and that, which we'll talk about in just a bit. But it's so funny because I was so accustomed to speaking to you guys every week on the air. So when we have a break, we miss you guys. So welcome back.
Aww.
Big welcome back. Boss It Up, Dr.
We miss you too.
Yes. So
We're real excited. So let me just first start by reminding everybody, and I have a couple of announcements in to bring you guys up to speed on what we've been doing. We're going to hear a little bit about what you've been doing and talk about what you want to talk about today for our amazing listeners. But, you know, just remind everybody, you know, whichever you guys want to take it is fine, on what BossItUp.biz is all about. Can you just bring everybody up to speed again on all that for the new listeners today?
Not a problem, sure will. So, hey, good morning, everyone out there. I want to first say you all are too blessed to be stressed. You're too anointed to be disappointed, and you're way too saved in every area of your life not to be getting paid.
Yes.
Can we get an amen, even from the atheists out there?
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Who don't want to start off with a positive statement like that about yourself? That means you are amazing. That means that you are going to crush it this week. Everything that happened this past week, if it was some negative, we're just going to just throw it out in the lake of forgiveness, forget about it, and we're going to boss up every area of our life. So boss it up. We simply educate business owners and or their marketing staff on how to increase their bottom line through what we have patented called cerebral attraction marketing and business automation, which really simple is that we give people information that is hot and real today, that works today with what's going on in the world today, to market whatever product, whatever service, no matter what industry it is, as long as it's not something evil and mean and hurting people.
we don't want that.
To get it out. Right. No. We will help you get it out there through automation. So basically, you set it and forget it. We push a couple of buttons for you to keep it real simple. And now all of your past clients, your future clients, clients you don't even notice we even got this out there that need what you have, we can run them to your website for you. So while you sleep, you can wake up to appointments and new clients, and it's a beautiful thing. And we can make you look so good on all the different social media sites that everybody thinks you're like the expert in your industry. So you become what, baby?
The hunted instead of the hunter. Come
boom,
on.
Come on, somebody.
Okay, Elder Michael, okay.
And then we offer different type of memberships and packages for those who are really looking to go to the top. They're already making some money in their business. They're pretty decent. They're doing okay. They got a great clientele, but they really are stuck at that glass ceiling of can't cross over into the multiple seven-figure arena. That's really tough for a lot of people, but a lot of people want it. They understand it's not just about the money, but it's about the blessings that you can give other people when you have that kind of income and prestige and influence, that positive influence in your community, right? Because it's nothing like having community wealth. So we really help people gain that community wealth. We help them spiritually if that's what they're looking for as well. We help them style-wise. We help them to create an image online or offline. We show you how to present what you have, a way that nobody else is doing it out here. That's why so many people are finally running over to Boss It Up, because they're seeing the old school ways don't work of building businesses out here today, because there's so many scams, so much drama, so many thirsty people out here, unfortunately, because of the pandemic. A lot of people lost a lot, so people are coming out with things. Oh, I can do this, and I can help you with that. They're a guru and everything, and they're wasting people's money and time. So we had to come out with something to help business owners build online and offline that was different than everybody else's, that didn't cost an arm and a leg, and that actually worked and can be scaled. That means we can always help them grow and make money for life. So that's what Boss It Up does.
Wow. Well, I tell you something, you're carving out your own lane, which is just amazing. I just have one question.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn it over to you guys. But how did you come up with this amazing idea and platform to help folks like this? That's all I want to know this morning.
You know, It was, I heard the cry of my people. Me and my husband, we were out there in the network marketing industry. You know, we had a regular job. We went, you know, went to college, got, you know, different degrees and all that great stuff, you know, did what our parents told us to do, to go to school, get a good job, all of that. We bought into the 40-40-40 plan like everybody do, you know, go to school, work 40. Yeah, you know how that's thing, but you can't even live off of, when you was making all your money, let alone retirement. And we said, you know what, we don't want to work the rest of our lives making someone else wealthy. We want to create generational wealth. We want to be the ones in our family to break the chains of poverty mentality, and become millionaires and show other people how to do it in their own gift, to walk in their own gift. Uh-huh. So being out here for 30-something years, out here as entrepreneurs and business owners and working on the other side in the W-2 field, in the medical field, in the
laborer
field. Yeah, laborer
industry.
Field. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here, it's so simple. The thing, as time, it's been proven, as time moves on, everybody, it don't make no difference who you are. When you hear the word inflation, you already know. Next year, inflation. But here's the thing. What people don't realize is that the things that work way back when don't work today.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't work as well. You know, marketing and advertising.
I kind of agree with you guys on this. I'm going to say, because, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know what, times have changed. And it's not the same old routine marketing. And I am the first to raise my hand when I hear you. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, they're right. So I love what you just said, because you're correct. And I just want you both, want to acknowledge that this morning. So great job for both of you. I'm impressed. Okay.
And here's another word that when you say it, people be like, yeah. Technology. When you hear the word technology, okay, here's a prime example. Apple. Every year, they come out with another phone. We at 12.
True.
Now let's see. Next year to be 13. Next year to be 14. Next year to be 15. And because people like changing with the times, they're gonna keep buying new. Keep mine new, trading the old to get new, you know, and that right there is why we have inflation.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, because everybody we have to have the new. It's just like, okay, here you go. Here go another prime example from way back in the day. Air Jordans. You have the ones, twos, threes, originals. Ones, twos, threes, fours, 13s, 14s. I mean, come on now.
So we stand
exactly.
This is what my husband is saying so eloquently, and I love the way he breaks things down. So if I
know, it's very. Listen, I'm visualizing these shoes.
To know. I love it. I love the way he teaches. I love it. That's why I learned so much by listening to him, because he breaks it down. A lot of people like to get in and say something quick and run. No, I like it because he really is helping you understand that and give you examples.
Exactly.
That the times are changing. And if we do not put our finger on the pulse of what's going on with how to build business, how to build ourselves, how to build a community, how to build a network today with what's going on today, with today's society, again, the skepticism, the scam artists, the everybody's making promises, oh, we can take you to the top, and they're taking people's money, and they're not, you know, I'm giving them what they say they're going to give them, and it's just too much going on. So now with the mask, they're not off, but they're coming down. Folks want simplicity. They want honesty, and they want real.
I love it.
They want real. They're sick and tired of being taken. They want to know that, hey, if I start a side hustle or if I want to finally grow my gift and my family business, that I got techniques that work. They're going to work. They're going to work quickly, and they're going to work long. I'm not going to have short money. Everybody hates short money. I don't know about you, but I don't like it.
You know, short like money, yes. Short money, no. Exactly. Well, I love how you both describe it.
We show people how to have long money, Carrie. We show them how to have long money,
awesome.
And no matter what industry they are in a bunch of different ways, but mainly with automation, so they can make money in their sleep. They don't have to work so hard.
And then here's something else too, Carrie. You know, with a lot of network marketing companies out here, right? They try to convince you that everybody wants what you have. you know what I'm saying? So you got to show it to everybody.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
and then
they started telling you that everybody can't do what we do, you know. So then they start telling you stuff like, well, you're gonna get for every 100
No's.
You're going to get 10 yeses. You know what I'm saying? Instead of training a person to win,
they train you to lose.
You know, they teach people to accept the losses. You know what I'm saying?
And to be mediocre.
Enough is enough
with the mediocrity. People selling for mediocrity. Enough is enough. You don't have to kill yourself or become somebody you're not, or be chasing money or nothing like that. Carrie, like I said, when I first met you, you said it eloquently. You said it best when you said, if you concentrate on the work and giving value to your people, money will come. And I internalized what you said years ago, and I flipped it and started teaching my philosophy with that Carrie Hines statement in there.
That is the nicest thing. Thank you.
It really has helped so many people that has came across our table. We wanted to build their business and build themselves because they were concentrating on the money. Everything was about, I got to make money, I got to get a sales, I got to make money. You know what I'm saying? Instead of concentrating on the art, the skill.
I love it. Thank you guys so much for that. And let me just tell you, I love what they're saying this morning. Folks out there, you guys tuned in, I have to say the Kellys are absolutely right. Absolutely right. I've got one client I have to tell you, because this is a great story that fits right in with what you're talking about. And every time I would speak to her, and she still calls me, and I've told her, every conversation was about she didn't have enough money. She got to make money, 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 money. That's all she's focused on. I got to do this, got to do that, got to do it. Only money. And I'm not saying that everybody needs money. Is an important tool, and we need to have money to live our best lives. However, if it's your only conversation, that's the thing. If it's your only conversation, just check yourself. You know, when you're sitting in with your own thoughts, I mean, if that's your only conversation and you're not focused on the work, I'm afraid that money is probably a little bit more out of reach than you thought. So I love what FawcettUp.biz is all about. I love the message what you guys have brought to our listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show today. I am so excited. Michael and Shante, thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. We love it. We love it.
You know, we just try to, you know, be like everybody else, you know. We try to be 100.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
That's what everybody wants to be. That's what my husband, we help each other out here. He completes my sentences. I complete his a lot of times. Is that we want to be what everybody say they want, right? Everybody say they want you to keep it 100 with them. Oh, you know, tell me the truth. You're not my friend if you don't tell me the truth. But when you tell them the truth,
That's true. You have a good one there.
Some kind of way. way. It's like, wait a minute. Even when you tell it to them with tact and love and all of that, people know we have to accept the truth within ourselves first before we can accept the truth from someone else. So never tell – I'm going to help somebody out here right now. Stop telling people to tell you the truth if you're not even ready to deal with the truth. Once you deal with the truth, then start, you can ask people, because what's going to happen is it's going to hinder your walk with your growth. Stop doing that. So we have to be honest with ourselves before we can even think about being honest with other people. So when me and my husband saw that literally the big wig, the Pope, the 3% out here in the entrepreneur world or whatever, that are making the big money, the multi-millions and the billions and the trillions, literally.
And I'm not in that 3% just yet.
Exactly. Well, exactly. We're on our way. But here's the thing.
We're on our way.
More people are going to be able to do it through our technique to boss it up.
True.
Because we were able to reach that mountain, sit at the table, and heard the people say, don't tell them that it doesn't work like that anymore. Don't tell them that they're not supposed to build like that. You can't market that industry like that no more. It's too saturated. Now you have to think outside the box, and you have to do it this way now. Don't tell them that they have to work on their self while they work their system so that their system can work for them, because they're working with their system together as one. Don't tell them. Most people tell you to work this and then work yourself, then grow this and grow. No, you're supposed to grow together with what you're doing. Your personal development comes when you actually hands-on and doing things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are stuck. That's like saying, I'm not going to go to church until I stop drinking. I'm not going to get my soul together until I'm not going to walk into the church until I get myself together. Wait, that's an oxymoron statement. It doesn't even make it cancels out each other. You go to church because church is the hospital to help you. You go to church. You're supposed to go to church drunk, toe up from the flow up. Not in there disrupting, but sit in the back, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But a lot of people get that mixed up, and it's more religious-y, and it runs people away and beating folks up with the word. And me and my husband, we're not down with that. You met us. Even when Mr. Hines met us, everyone that's listening right now, he was like, wow, you guys are like so different than what I thought you guys were going to. Can you explain to the audience what you meant by that, Mr. Hines?
Well, I'm going to do better than explain, because I'm going to. This is a perfect segue. It couldn't have been planned any better, because that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to remind everybody about you guys' recent trip to New York City. We're not just talking about it. As they say here in New York, we can roll the wonderful video footage, in this case audio footage of your trip here. We took a little bit of a snippet when Mike and Shante came to New York City, and we were so excited. So why don't we – yes, we've got that for everybody. It's about 3 minutes long, so bear with us. We'll be back on the other side of it with a whole lot more with Mike and Shante this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Let's get this play. We'll talk about it on the other side.
9 at 9.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and I have to say we are out and about in New York City today, literally in Manhattan. And I'm not alone. Generally, I am, but not today. Today we have our very special Friday program contributors. You guys have met them several times right here on the radio show. It is my honor to welcome back to the program Elder Michael Kelly and Shante Kelly, Evangelist Shante Kelly. Boss it up, okay? The bosses, as I say, have bossed it up. It's my honor to welcome you guys back to the show.
Hey,
boss up.
All right. So first of all, I'm going to ask you, Michael, what brings you to New York?
Well, we came out to New York because we wanted to expand our business market. in a nutshell.
We want to bless more people. We want to bless more people with our unique training to helping people get to multiple seven figures in their business so that they can really make a dent in the issues that's going on in society, that, you know, the products and the services and opportunities that they offer, the life coaches and different things like that out there. We wanted, we're known to really break the ceiling for those who are kind of like stuck in a six-figure market and they really can't break that ceiling to get into multiple seven, because we've been told the wrong things to do. We've been told the wrong things to do on how to build business, right?
Wow.
So we're coming to tell the truth.
We're taking people back to the garden to start them over, you know, the right way, you know.
In the beginning.
It's no more of that. Make a list of 100 folks. Now, don't get me wrong. You can make a list of 100 folks and you can call them. And network marketers tell you you get about 10% of what you shoot for. So you wanted 10 people to show up, you want to invite 100.
But who has time? Who has time today? Look, the masks are coming down. They're not off yet, but they're coming down. People want simplicity. They want real. They want stuff that's not going to break them. It's going to bless them. That's going to bring them an unlimited amount of clients and customers, no matter what their industry is, without them having to slam the phones and do a lot of marketing. Now it's about automation, baby. Automation, automation.
I want to jump in because you guys, your broadcast is on Fridays. Folks know to turn into and tune in to Mike and Chante on Fridays at 8 a.m. right here, live from New York City. Well, you guys are out. Generally, you're over in Cleveland, but today you're out in New York City. So let me ask you, what has it been? What is this New York? What does it look like to you guys? And we're, by the way, let me just lead in with this, folks, to kind of make your mouth water. We're at the world-famous Sylvia's restaurant.
Yes.
Right here in Harlem.
Ooh, beautiful. Yeah, it's so, it's all in lights and sparkly and shiny. Sylvia.
So,
I can't wait. I got the smothered pork chop. My husband.
I got the chicken and waffles. To see what it do.
Right, exactly.
And it's breakfast for you guys, but for us, we're going to go in. So, listen, I got some kind of huge Angus burger, so I'm going to eat part of that right now. And I'll fill you in a little bit later live on the radio show. So thank you so much. Listen, guys, I want to thank you for joining us and tune in Friday, right, for you guys, right?
Yes.
We'll be on the radio show.
That's right, on Friday morning.
On Friday morning, that's right. We're coming, we're bringing the fire. Make sure you invite other people. Don't come by yourself.
Exactly. I'm loving it. Okay. Folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Has your trip to the local hair store left you down? Same old hair with little selection and outrageous prices? Well, you need to check out TracyBeautySupply.com. This is an online beauty store specializing in all types of hair. There are different lengths, different colors, different styles, and you can basically live out your hair fantasy through this site. TracyBeautySupply.com is devoted to helping every woman's dream of the perfect hairstyle come true by providing the highest quality of virgin human hair. Want a new look? We'll help you find a new color. We'll help you find it. You can't get it? We got it, and we can deliver it to you, because we can deliver everywhere. TracyBeautySupply.com, where hair fantasies come true.
I want to tell you all about HealingGo.com. They make all-natural hair products with a focus on quality. You got to try their scalp stimulator that has 13 oils to promote hair growth. Go to HealingGo.com to see their complete line and listen out for their interview right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's HealingGo.com. HealingGo.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Friday morning, June 25th of 2021. It's our broadcast show number 579. Show number 579. As we march towards show number 600. Hey, if it's Friday and it's between 8 and 9 a.m. Eastern, 7 and 8 Central Time, it is none other than time for Mike. We just love Mike Kelly and Shante Kelly, the folks from BossItUp.biz. They're back with us. Good morning and welcome back to the show. Good morning.
My husband said good morning.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm loving this morning. I love the entire talk. How was that? Yes. Was that nice? It was like a moment. We got to revisit your trip to New York City. So what did you think when you got to hear that again? What went through your mind? Elder Michael, why don't we start with you? What went through your mind when you heard that again playback? On your trip, your recent trip here to New York City, where I'm located.
Yeah, it took me back. It gave me, you know how they say flashback, you know, or throwback, you know. Yeah. That was a flashback, you know. And we definitely, you know, we planning on coming up there in July, the end of July, around my birthday time. But I think we're gonna end up. We might end up taking a pre-trip before that out there. I think we might want to do that, you know. But this time we're gonna be more free because we're gonna put the baby in the kennel.
In the kennel, we're gonna put the fur baby in the kennel.
They're talking about their wonderful, beautiful dog Oreo. Yes, they've got a lovely dog.
Back to the recording, you know, because we could start off on one thing and we could start at A, and somehow we always end up getting to C, D, and E.
Yes, media people. We're all media people, and we're speakers and presenters.
Exactly.
And right. Yeah. We can't help ourselves.
But
anyway,
the recording.
My
thoughts when I was listening to it was like, wow, we really are on target, you know. And, with what we're trying to do here, you know. And
God's
and,
mission for our life. God's
and,
mission
and
for
what
our
that,
life.
And what that is we're trying to educate business owners, you know. And here's the thing, you know, one of our great inspirers is a man by the name of Warren Buffett. You know,
Warren Buffett inspires us all.
Yeah, exactly.
You work deep in the financial industry, Carrie, so you know.
Absolutely.
Anybody that calls themselves an entrepreneur should know at least one of his slogans.
I'm going to drop this little nugget while you're telling the story, Michael Kelly, and then I'm going to let you continue. And Shante, you brought up, you're absolutely right. I actually used to work for the company that used to issue out the dividend checks to the Microsoft folks. So when we tell you we were directly involved and I mean, we're talking zeros on top of zeros. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go into any more detail because I cannot. But that was amazing. And thank you for reminding me of the financial world. And I love Warren Buffett. Yes, who does not? So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Elder Michael Kelly. Please continue. You've got the mic.
Okay. But one of my favorite ones was when he said this. He said, If you find something that you like to do, make that a hobby.
Yeah.
But if you find something that the world likes to do, make that your job. Or business. Know,
or business.
Make
right.
that a business.
Right,
you
right.
Create a business.
You know what I'm saying? And what we do at Boss It Up is we try to help people find what their business really is. Because a lot of people don't know what they are or
gifted at.
What they're gifted, what they're really supposed to be doing. And that's why a lot of the people, 97% of the world is in the state that it's in,
mm-hmm.
is because they don't really know what they are supposed to be doing.
And it's really funny.
Now, in this case, I'm in the 3%. In this case, I'm in the 3%.
Oh, we are.
Well,
we,
that's,
we,
yeah,
we
I love that.
Too.
Love it.
Right.
Great God.
Awesome.
In this case, we in the, exactly, but that's very rare.
Yeah.
So what we kind of want to talk about today in the show, Brother Kerry gave us the okay to do that, is to talk about the importance of really being educated on why you should be an entrepreneur, why you should have a legitimate, practical a side hustle that people actually want, that people need, the world needs, that it's scalable, that it moves quickly, the product, the service, whatever it is, that it's actually, it's marketable type of a thing. And so there's like five disciplines of business that a lot of people don't really understand. They teach it to you in Harvard and Stanford and some of these, Howard University, in some of the top exec business classes or whatever, but rarely do just regular folk that go to a regular university or community college or whatever get the kind of education. And those are usually the ones that have the gumption to get out there and become an entrepreneur and not depend on a paycheck from a regular job on a weekly basis and get out there and test the waters. And it's scary. It's super scary. But a lot of people won't do it. They won't do it. They will not dig down deep and find out what their real gift is and walk therein because they don't really have the faith that they can grow it. They can make, they can get the clients. Or then they tried to sell something in the past and one or two people said no, the wrong people, and it crushed them. And it was like, oh, my God, if I can't even get that person to buy from me or join me, or let me
exactly.
help them out or give me a referral, then let me go back to work. Let me go back and work for someone else.
Wow.
Then I don't have to worry about all that kind of stress and strain. Not understanding that is an insult to anybody who has a gift to go and work for someone else and not use your gift to bless your own family and create your own generational wealth. But most
that
people
is amazing.
Have no idea
wow.
how to do it.
Exactly. So what do you say to these individuals who, because you're right, and we encounter a lot of folks who, they see these amazing lives that we get to live every day, but what they don't see is the work. So what do you say with someone just starting out, and what kind of advice would you share, you guys? Introduces them to BossItUp.biz.
The first thing I would do is get on our calendar. Just get on our calendar. Mm. If you go to www.bossitup.biz, you will see where it's a little pink button. It follows you on every little page, and it says calendar, make an appointment. Click there, or you see my picture on there, my super cool picture on there, and I'll talk to you as a little robot. We can have a chop it up conversation and get you on a calendar. The main thing is to get on a calendar. Don't be scared. No obligation, no fluff. And let us show you the unique things that we're doing that no other marketing company is doing. We literally have been blessed to create an entrepreneurial elevational platform. It's a platform, and it touches all the five disciplines of business building of yourself and your company that most people have no idea what those disciplines are. And if they do, they don't know how to grow them for today's society. Remember, we have to, as business owners, we have an obligation to stay relevant and up to date with our fingers on the pulse of what's worked, what doesn't, for our clients. If we want to stand out in the crowd, if we want to be that company that people run to, that they give referrals to, and you're not looked at like everybody else,
95% of the reason why people can never make multiple seven and eight and nine figures in their business is because they're following the old school method. And when Boss It Up comes in and they could get on our calendar and we go through for about 15, 20 minutes and show you the real, give you the truth, most people falling out their chairs like, what? Are you serious right now? No wonder I can't break that glass ceiling. No wonder I never have a continual amount of good customers and getting people sticking and staying and giving me referrals. I've been doing it wrong. I didn't even know that I was supposed to post at this time of day and not this time of day when I'm in this type of an industry. I didn't even know that I'm supposed to build a community online by giving people value here and there so that they run after me and I don't have to run after them.
And then the thing of it is you can't beat the prices that we have.
That's, ooh, Jesus.
That's,
yeah.
That is the main ingredient right there. We don't charge nowhere near and what we are known for is under promising
and
over delivering.
Over.
I love that.
That's the thing, Mr. Hines, yes or yes, that makes people stand out in the crowd. Yes,
absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely. You and I'm listening to both of you, and I'm like, absolutely. If you are trying to find a way to get your business going and be an entrepreneur, these are the folks who are telling you what works. And I have to say, I'm very impressed with that this morning. I mean, you really bring the talk. And some entrepreneurial talk with you guys and BossItUp.biz. Listen, if you're just kind of tuning in, then I just want to remind you, you guys are on with Carrie Hines. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is Friday morning. We are live. We are live on this Friday morning. And I just have to say, Michael Kelly, we just appreciate you. And Evangelist Shante Kelly, Elder Michael Kelly and Evangelist Shante Kelly, welcome, BossItUp.biz, the folks behind this company. Yes.
And here's the best part. If you are not, and I do repeat, if you are not a tech savvy person.
Oh yeah. And I'm raising my hand right now.
Don't want to use the computer or whatnot. We can show
right,
you.
Right.
But here's it. If you can't use a computer, you can use a phone. And the number to call is 216-714-2784.
Yes, what we're going to try to do, folks. We don't usually give out numbers so much, but what we're going to have
you guys do is, that's okay.
We're going to have you guys to touch base with us at Hair Radio, and we will put you in touch with the Kellys. So that's very important, and we'll send you to their website, BossItUp.biz, and I'm sure you'll be able to reach and connect with them, correct? Now, I've got to tell you, I've got some news.
Carrie, it's our Google search number, so it's okay. It's our business number.
No, this is wonderful. That's fine. We just don't – the reason that we – because let me tell you something. You will get your phone blown up from our fans who love you guys and want to hear you. So we kind of just – we've made it a rule that, you know, because we've given out numbers and the people, people are contacting this and that. So we try to not really do that on the show so much. But I do have some information for you guys this morning. The Kellys, and I really want to tell you about this because this is really fantastic and it's something that's beneficial to you guys as well. And you may not have even heard about this. But I'm really, really honored to say you've already been playing there, and you might not have been aware. So we have launched our very first, well, I shouldn't say it's not my first, but it's as far as you guys are concerned, it's the very first 24-hour, 7-day-a-week network on hair and beauty and more. It's not just hair and beauty anymore. We're around the clock. We're literally playing there right now.
over at our website at HAIRadio.com, so at hairradio.com with one R, you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And to this very broadcast, we'll play back there in just a little while today. So we're just so excited. So around the clock, folks are tuned in to all kinds of wonderful shows, some of our classic shows we play there. We play some recent shows. We've got you guys there. It's just been an awesome and amazing thing.
Wow.
And let me be the first to say that we're hoping, you know, we're going to get you guys all set for a scheduled regular time slot on our 24-hour network. So we're going to try to work all those details out because we really would love to have you guys every so-and-so, like every Monday at 5 or whatever. So we're going to try to put together a nice schedule. Folks are loving you guys. You know, you bring great information on Friday morning. Michael Kelly, Shantae Kelly. So thank you so much. This really means a lot. So what do you guys think when you hear that? What do you think, Shantae, when you hear something like that?
I hear that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do because elevation does not happen with mess. God don't bless no mess, baby.
True.
He just doesn't.
I like
you're
that.
Elevating. The Hair Radio Show is elevating. Your territory, Carrie Hines, is elevating because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing it with integrity, and you're doing it with professionalism. And people are feeling it, they're seeing it, and the value. And let me say this, because this man is so humble, and I try not to do too much complimenting of him because he's so humble. I couldn't even take a picture of him. His hair is so pretty. I'm not trying to be funny. Carrie does not like, so he's like my husband. They don't take compliments well, but they take them, but they don't take them well. So I have to sneak a compliment in with Carrie every now and then.
Oh,
Carrie,
that's very kind.
Carrie was so busy. He had so many clients. He's so busy. When we came out to New York, but he got on a subway and he left Brooklyn in the middle of the day, and he told his
and
clients,
I do not just go out and meet with any old body. You got that
he
right.
He doesn't. Y'all not feeling us. He doesn't. So for him to drop everything he was doing and get on a train and come way over to Manhattan, to where we
well,
were
listen,
at, and spent
you both
like
are,
most of the half
you
of
both,
the day to eat
well,
with us. Oh my!
You're very kind.
Walk with us. Carrie is amazing. I'm telling y'all,
well,
he is so amazing.
You're very kind.
I'm trying to take pictures,
and I have to say, really. Well, you're very kind, Shantae Kelly. I appreciate it. Michael
but,
Kelly,
oh my,
both
you guys,
of you.
He bent over backwards. He really did bend over backwards. And we want to say publicly, want to thank you because you did not have to do that. You could have just called us on the phone or whatever. But I just want to let you know he bends over backwards for his people, and we really appreciate you, Carrie. Thank you.
Well, listen, that's very kind. And I have to say the same thing back at both of you. It was a real honor and a pleasure, and I needed to get out and get on the train, which, again, from my house to Manhattan is about an hour. And I just have to say it was well worth the trip, and I enjoyed it. And we talked to you guys. I really enjoyed listening back to that food we had. You guys come back, and we're going to go back to Sylvia's again. And we'll do a whole new taste. Listen, I gotta say,
cold, y'all.
Please,
that's how good her pork chops was. I ate them cold the next day.
and Michael, you had some good food too. I mean, we had a great time. We really did. And am I right? Let me just say, coming up. Now, you know, the 4th of July is right around. Yeah. Well, thank you both.
When we
wow,
were there,
what can I
you
say?
Know, when you had left, you know, we had called the Uber and we were waiting on the Uber.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that one Uber show up.
He
had to sit there and call another one.
Oh,
he
really? I didn't know that you guys, wow.
And I was like, oh, my God,
I thought I was.
And we're stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
In the middle.
You know why? Because I saw the car and you guys were getting in the car. I thought you guys were all set. I would have never left that if I had known anything like that.
Yeah, that was not the car. That was not the car.
And the guy just,
but
Uber,
we're going to do it better. We're going to do it better when you guys come back to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you guys, I have to say, oh, absolutely, Michael.
Yeah.
Your birthday's on. We're going to have a great time at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, we will be back. We're going to take a holiday break, I call it. So we'll be back. We're going to have a whole lot of stuff going on when we are back on Blog Talk with the three-hour broadcast. So that'll be on Tuesday, July 6th, that we return to this 6 in the morning till 9 o'clock live talk time. But in the meanwhile, you can stay on top of everything. We're going to put new content there. We got shows playing now. We're on 24 hours a day right now. So the conversation continues at HAIRadio.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the clock. We got a lot of folks there. So in these next couple weeks when we're not on live in the morning from 6 to 9 on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're still broadcasting around the clock. And we've got new content there, and we're putting in some things just